This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode number 9.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. Well, on last week's episode, I spoke about awareness days, and by that I mean things like Cancer Awareness Day or Baby Loss Awareness Day, or even things like Movember when people grow silly moustaches to raise money for charity. And I talked about how you could use awareness days to get media coverage for your business or brand. And I also pointed out some of the pitfalls, some of the mistakes that people make when they're trying to use awareness days to get media coverage. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, definitely worth a listen. It's episode 8 and it's called Beware of Awareness Days. So do go back and have a listen because there's some great tips on that episode. So on to today's show. Well, I'm also going to be talking about awareness, but this time around, it's brand awareness. And I've got a fantastic guest on the show who's just an amazing job of creating brand awareness around her business. She's going to be sharing some of the tips and tricks and strategies that she's used to make that work for her. But before we get on to meet her, I just wanted to remind you about feedback. I'm loving getting your emails and your tweets and your Facebook messages. It's just so great to get your feedback on how I'm doing with the show. So if you've got some feedback for me, perhaps you've got some ideas on content or guests you'd like on the show, do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk or tweet me @jan_murray, or my Facebook page is Janet Murray UK. I love hearing from you, so do keep that coming. I'm also just so chuffed with all the iTunes reviews that I've been getting from you, and do keep those coming too. It's just so great. The more reviews that I get on iTunes, the more people get to know about the show, and that's just great because I can share this content with more people. So if you are enjoying the show, I'd love it if you went over to iTunes and left me a review, and I may just read it out on the show too. So thank you for those of you who've done it already. It's so appreciated. And if you're out there and you'd love to give me a review, I would appreciate that so much. So on with the main part of the show then. So today's guest is someone who, as I've already said, has done a brilliant job of creating brand awareness around her business. And one of the things that I'm always saying to my clients is how important it is to have a memorable business story, and also to be the kind of business where people just think of a word or a phrase and you just come to mind straight away. And my guest today has just done a brilliant job of doing that. And it does make getting PR coverage, like traditional media coverage, so much easier. If a journalist can just think of you, think of some memorable words or phrases, or think of a topic and you just immediately spring to mind, that is just PR magic. And my guest today, she has totally rocked that already. So meet Natalie Sisson. She's a suitcase entrepreneur. And she, in her own words, she travels around the world having crazy cool adventures and runs a business from her laptop. She's got an amazing business story, which she's going to share with us on today's show. And I've been following her podcast, her blog, her Instagram account for years now, and following her adventures. And she's just such an inspiring business person who's got some great tips to share. Hello, Natalie. Really, really great to have you here.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So thank you so much. And would you mind starting by, for those people who don't know who you are, just explain a little bit about your background and a little bit about your business?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Natalie Sisson, the suitcase entrepreneur. I'm originally from New Zealand, so that's the accent. And my business is, sometimes I'm cheeky and I say I sell freedom. But ultimately, what I want people to do is create a business that they love based around what they know, what they're good at, and the skills that they have, and make that business support their ideal lifestyle. So I'm all about that freedom and fun and lifestyle should come first, and your business should be something that you adore, but that supports you and your lifestyle.
And so how did it all come about then? So where did the suitcase entrepreneur thing come about?
It came about through just the craziest venture, really, I think, in a long journey of going through my own stuff, through 8 years in the corporate world, honing my skills in marketing and branding and event management and sometimes some PR, and then finally breaking free of all that and realizing that I really wanted to do my own thing, except I had no idea what that thing was, just that I wanted to quit the 9-to-5 world, leave London, where I was at the time, actually, and head off to Vancouver to play some World Championship Ultimate Frisbee, which is always a great idea. Like, if you don't know what to do, just, I always suggest taking a giant leap, leaving the country you're in, making a bold move, leaving everything behind that you know, to kind of get a clean start. And that's what I did. And while I was there, I luckily met through a lot of networking events, a business partner, and we created and co-founded a technology company, which was a Facebook app. So I basically went from working in this corporate world sort of structure to the fast, wild west of entrepreneurship, especially in the tech scene. And it was like jumping into the deep end, and fantastic learning experience, and exciting and scary and thrilling, and worked really long hours with lots of coffee to build a Facebook app that helped you to make payments online and fundraise, and is today the number one fundraising app, which is really cool. But I can't say that I was any part of that, because I stuck around for 18 months. I helped build the business from scratch, get testers and beta testers for our app, get financing, investment, learned as much as I could about how do you use social media and this fairly new platform at the time, Facebook, to actually create a business, create a customer base, and create revenue.
When we see you now, and Natalie's got a podcast and a blog, and she's really successful, she's got a great social media following. I think on Instagram and Facebook, you've got thousands and thousands of followers, haven't you? But where did you make that transition from the Facebook app into the brand that you've got now? How did that all come about?
Well, I was getting to that. So I had started a blog when I was at the tech company, and that blog was actually for my own purpose. So I had one for the company, but I had my own, and it was called Women's World at the time, because I was fascinated why there weren't more women in tech, why there weren't more CEOs. So I started, a bit like you, interviewing women, finding out what made them successful, how they dealt with being in a man's kind of industry and niche. And that blog kind of became my baby, and I got very passionate about it and realized that it probably was the thing that I should be pursuing. And my business partner was the first to kind of say, Natalie, you should try and turn this into a business, because you're clearly, you know, love it and it's your passion. And so we left on really good terms, and that's all I had was this blog. And 5 years later, that is now my business. And I rebranded to The Suitcase Entrepreneur, and everything kind of got a lot clearer from that point on. So yeah, that blog is now my full-time business.
Wow. And where did that, I mean, it's just such a genius idea, isn't it? Suitcase Entrepreneur. And for those of you who don't know Natalie, she's got these like brilliant sort of catchphrases. I don't know if that's the kind of right way to call them, but she's got freedom in business, adventure in life, which totally kind of encapsulates what she does. She says at the beginning of her podcast, she says, hello, freedom fighters. You also talk about traveling around the world, having crazy cool adventures, which I mentioned at the beginning. And the fact that I can remember all of those phrases and is testament really to how brilliant your brand building is. Was it sort of a conscious thing, or did you just start, were you just kind of suddenly kind of on the bus or in the bath or whatever, and suddenly this great idea came to you? Or was it kind of a conscious kind of decision to create a brand around that?
It's a really great question. And if I cast my memory back, it was quite a definitive moment. I'd had my blog and business for about 10 or 11 months, and I was at a conference, and everybody always asks you at conferences, you know, what's your name? What do you do? Etc. And I was like, I'm Natalie Sisson. I live out of a suitcase and I run this business trying to teach other people how to build businesses that they love. And people were just like, you live out of a suitcase, you live nowhere, and all this sort of stuff. And finally, one guy said to me, oh, so you're like a traveling entrepreneur. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you're like a suitcase entrepreneur. And I was like, oh, that's it. You know, when you just hear something and you're like, yes. And he's like, you've got to go and buy that domain if it's available. It's like, I will. And I went home and it was. And I remember messaging Matthew Goldfarb was his name, and I thanked him so much. And the minute I got that domain, everything became clear to me, because suitcase entrepreneur is quite a good niche. You know, it kind of says to you, it says to other people, pack up yourself, take it mobile. You're an entrepreneur, but you're sort of packaged. So that's tools and systems and streamlining. It also means travel and a mobile business and all those sorts of things. So it just really encapsulated what I was doing. And I literally have lived out of my suitcase for the last 5 years. It just became so much clearer for me what my brand stood for, the type of people I could attract, what offers I would put out, and who I was serving.
And that's the brilliant thing about it, isn't it? Because there's not many people out there who are doing, I mean, I can't think of anybody, you probably know better than me, I can't think of anybody who's out there doing the same thing. There's similar things, but I don't think there's anybody out there with such a strong brand. I think there's, is it Jill and Josh Stanton? They do Screw the 9 to 5, don't they? But actually somebody who's actually traveling like you, is there anywhere, anyone else out there like you?
Oh, no, I'm unique. But no, I mean, there are plenty of people. I mean, Benny Lewis, fluent in 3 months. He's been living out kind of a backpack for, I would say, 10 years and traveling around and switching destinations. And there are sort of backpack entrepreneurs and things, but a suitcase less so. I think people with legitimate, real, you know, six-figure plus businesses. I don't think there's as many women, for sure. There's more men, and they're more lifestyle design, kind of location independent and digital nomads, which is great because that's all the labels I am. But yeah.
And that's one of the things that I'm always saying to people when people ask me about PR and I'm teaching people about PR. One of the things I say to them is it's so important that you've got a business story. I mean, not that you kind of manufacture your business story, but having one, and just having, when people think of your name, just having a word or a couple of words that people associate with you. So in your case, is freedom, isn't it? I think of Natalie Sisson and I think freedom. And you think of, you know, traveling the world with your laptop. And it's just, it's really easy, isn't it? It's really kind of, people can immediately understand who you are and what you stand for. With me, I think people, you know, they immediately think PR, they think getting press coverage. And I think that's so important. And has that been, I'm presuming that's been really important for you in terms of building your business and getting traction with your business, just having that kind of phrase or those few words that people associate with you?
Do you know, I think it's just been important because it's helped me to really define what I do. And it's like a rally cry for the community. I don't necessarily think it's, maybe it has actually helped build and grow the business, but it's just important for me that I stand out by, you know, freedom is so important to me. So I'm going to talk about it all the time, and hashtag freedom and choose freedom and freedom fighters has all just come naturally by talking about the stuff that I love, and people really resonate because that's what they're there for too. So yeah, absolutely.
When I'm talking to people about getting PR, that's the thing I often say to people, journalists, they aren't interested in writing about your business, or they might be interested if your business is new, it's a little bit unique. They might be interested in doing a couple of pieces initially about your business. If that's only if you do something unique. But where you're going to get more luck in terms of getting PR coverage is if you're offering stuff that's about your mission and your values and what you stand for. And I think that's what really stands out for me, is that all of the stuff you do on social media, but also in the kind of more traditional PR, it's all about your mission and your values and what you stand for. And like you say, it seems to come really naturally. It's just, you know, this is me, this is what I believe in. And it sounds like it's grown really kind of organically. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for saying that. I mean, it's really cool because to where I'm coming from, it's just something that I do. So it's neat when you see somebody else's perspective of how it comes across. And I definitely know that podcast listeners of mine now will come up and go, "Hey, Natalie, I'm one of your freedom fighters." And it's like, oh, cool. Like they just call themselves that and label themselves that. And the whole choose freedom, people are kind of posting up photos going, "Choose freedom," and CC Natalie says, and it's cool.
And I know certainly when I appeared on Natalie's podcast, it's episode 190, I'll stick it in the show notes. But when I pitched Natalie to go on her show, I mean, that was one of the things I said in my email pitch. I'm a dedicated freedom fighter. That was my way of showing her that I engaged with her content. I knew who she was and what she was about. And because for me, that brand was so, so strong. So is that something when you're working in your business? Because if you could tell me a little bit first about how you work with clients in your business. And then it'd be good to know, is that something that you try and share with the business owners that you work with, you know, trying to sort of develop a brand and that kind of thing?
I guess it is, because one of my six steps to building an online business is about having a really clear brand identity that aligns with your values. So I currently work with clients. I don't actually work with clients one-on-one anymore, but when I started out, my first path to revenue was one-on-one coaching, in addition to then developing some digital products like books and online boot camps and running physical workshops, actually. But I did a lot of one-on-one coaching for a long time, and I loved working with clients. And now I've scaled up into running a definitive program where I do group coaching within that, and a lot of my online content is delivered through videos and audio. So I've just found a way of, I guess, scaling myself to be able to teach many more people and get the message across and allow them to choose freedom, which I couldn't have done had I continued working one-on-one. So these days it's through my Freedom Plan program. I have a Freedom Collective community, which is an online community for accountability and learning and coaching. And it's really just bringing these sort of entrepreneurs and lifestyle designers and people who aren't always in front of their own entrepreneurs and peers to hang out together online in one place. So those are the ways that I work now. And I think,
it's about the brand.
So, in terms of teaching them, yeah, I think it comes up a lot. You know, you get, how do I stand out online? How do I have a unique voice? How do I set my brand apart from others? And the biggest piece of advice that I sort of love to give, because I did this for a long time, is I think I was just too vanilla for a long time. Like, I was trying to be everything to everybody. And when I had Woman's World, the biggest mistake I made is I was like, the ultimate resource for all female entrepreneurs around the world was pretty much my tagline. And I look back at that and I'm like, that is horrendous, because all female entrepreneurs around the world is not a niche. It is gigantic. Like, it's not, how are you supposed to define your little place within that?
Yeah.
So,
And I love that you use that phrase, that term vanilla, because I think that's a mistake lots of people make in trying to reach everybody. They end up sort of, I think you have to accept that some people will love what you do, some people will be very lukewarm about what you do, and some people may actually hate what you do. And I think if you want to be successful, that's certainly what I've observed, that you have to be prepared to kind of go down that road. Is that something that you've experienced?
Yeah, absolutely.
And have you come across, this is just something that people in my community ask me a lot, So your brand is very, it's definitely not vanilla at all. And it's very memorable, very recognizable. Do you ever come across haters? Do you ever have people who say, oh, Natalie Sisson, oh, I'm sick of hearing about freedom, or, you know, people who post mean things online or that kind of thing?
Do you know what really surprises me and why I think sometimes I need to be more opinionated, or it's lovely that I'm not vanilla, but I have the fewest haters ever. Like, honestly, it's like everybody's so love and joy, and not in a way, because I'm kind of a hard-nosed, you know, take action, kick you in the butt in a positive kind of way. But I think because I'm very authentic and true to who I am, and I just say what I feel, and I'm very honest and down to earth, there's nothing really for people to get angsty about. And I don't put out super controversial pieces, but I do state my opinion and I do tell people what I think. But generally, no, I'm so lucky. I don't have trolls. I have very few people who ever say anything. And in some ways, I think that I'm not doing a good enough job to divide the line between people who are fully for freedom and people who are just sitting on the fence. So I'd love your thoughts about that, because I don't think it's a bad thing. I think I have a very committed, engaged, strong, rebellious kind of community. But I do think it is good to divide the line and to sometimes have people going, I don't agree.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting one, because I've found with my own business, actually, since I've started, I've been teaching PR in the way that I do for years now, but it's only recently that I've branded it under this soulful PR thing. And actually, I was a little bit nervous when I started putting that out there, because I thought, oh, some people, they won't get it, or they think it's a bit weird or whatever. But I've actually been so surprised how much people have loved it. And I think it's because it's very much from the heart. It's very much me being honest. There's no sort of gimmicks. There's no front. This is genuinely what I believe and how I like to work. And it sounds like it's quite similar for you, that because you're in that really genuine place and this is, you know, what you believe in, it's how you love to work, then actually people, they can't really argue with that. I don't know. It's just kind of my inkling about it.
Yeah, I absolutely love this topic. And to come back to your question before, no, I feel very grateful that I have mainly, actually almost all the time, this super supportive, awesome community. Because I think if you really believe in your cause and your mission and your vision, and you're just out there doing it to help other people, and you're giving tons of free content and great value and tips and advice, and you're just giving all the time, I don't really feel like people can go, I'm sick of hearing about freedom. Like, who ever gets sick of hearing about freedom?
No, I never get sick of hearing about it.
And that is a very elusive thing for some people. It's something that not many people have at all. And some people don't have any rights to, and others, you know, really who do give so much back. So I think it's a fascinating topic.
I think you sort of alluded to this yourself, but I mean, it's something that's a really strong value of mine, freedom. I don't travel the world like you do. You know, I've got a daughter and I'm based in the UK, but being able to work for myself and to be able to sort of decide my own destiny and decide who I want to work with and how I want to work with them, that's just so important to me. So I guess you're not just attracting people who are traveling the world like yourself or who aspire to do that, but you're also just attracting people who just really value freedom, and they just think that's just an important value in life. So I guess that works really well for your brand as well, because you're reaching more people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And one other thing I wanted to ask you about, I know that my listeners will be really interested in this, is how you've used social media to build your brand, because you've got a great following on Facebook and Twitter. You're also, I know recently you've been doing your 30, we're recording this in the middle of October 2015, and I know you've been doing your 30-day Periscope challenge, and I've been watching that come up on my phone every day.
Oh, cool. You should say hi more.
I should say hi more, shouldn't I? I've trouble is that I've got so many people popping up on Periscope, and I drop into as many as I can, but obviously it's growing so quickly, isn't it? That the temptation to drop into so many conversations every day. But how have you used social media to build your brand?
I pretty much built it on social media. If I look back, I mean, essentially, I started with a blog, which is social media. I built that through, at the time, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And these days, I much more heavily rely on Facebook. It's still my number one driver of traffic to my blog and website. Twitter, Instagram, two of my favorites, YouTube, and Periscope. It's such a new social media tool, and I just love testing and trying them out. And I think that everybody should see what value they can get out of it, see what value they can provide, see if it's a good fit for them within their sort of business strategy or within their branding, and then choose to use it or drop it. But social media has been imperative and my favorite platform. And I always call it my sales, marketing, and customer service tool rolled into one. So it's allowed me to have a much bigger reach than I ever could have any other way. And it's also helped me to grow, I think, and define my message and my voice and just, yeah, as I said, just be able to connect with such an incredible community. And from a personal front, with traveling all the time, it's been a brilliant, like, I'm coming to New York next week or I'm going to be in Cambodia, and just people matching you up all around the world with people you should meet, interact with, stay with, visit, events that are going on. It's been brilliant for keeping in touch with people and having that opportunity to build a community and be part of one.
And I know I've heard you talk on your podcast about how you've actually rocked up to certain cities or countries and you've met up with some of your community. So people have got in touch and said, look, you know, we've got this event going on or we're going to be here. Do you want to come along? So, I mean, that's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is fantastic.
I think I tweeted you about this recently, but I think it was after your podcast, somebody got in touch with me and said they'd heard me being interviewed on your podcast. And I was holding an event. I run these soulful PR breakfasts once a month in London. And I got there, it's a couple of weeks ago now, and who should be sitting in front of me? Somebody who'd listened to me being interviewed on your podcast and had come and found me, gone onto my website, signed up to my email list, and there we were chatting, united by your podcast, which is really kind of what it's all about, really, isn't it? Yeah.
And that's a great example, actually. I mean, you got a ton of great attention from that because you gave so much value on my podcast. People loved it, and it's a topic that everybody needs help on, right? And yeah. You came in with the right examples and case studies and tips, and it was super actionable and also very down to earth and practical. And I saw tweets and emails, and I think I forwarded some to you, of people just going, love the recent interview with Janet. Oh, took so much away from it, etc. And I know you personally have had a lot out of that. And I love it when that happens. And that's all through the reach and amplifying a message through different forms of medium on social media.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose it's sort of sharing the audiences as well, isn't it? Because I've got quite a big following on Twitter. So I was able to share that with my audience. I've got a sort of decent sized email list. And I guess it's all about kind of sharing and community, isn't it? And one thing I wanted to ask you about, just from a personal point of view, Twitter's brilliant for me. Email marketing is brilliant for me. But personally, I've not found Facebook has been brilliant for me engaging with my audience. I'm working with it. Have you got any tips? Because I'm sure there's probably people listening who probably say the same. Have you got any tips for Facebook engagement?
So I've got a really cool, and I'm happy to point to it in your podcast, I've got a really cool social media challenge, and it's free. And I basically take you through, you know, how should you use social media to build your business and your brand? And then which of the sites should you be on and why? And that's because I've done a lot of work around this and really looking at the demographics, how people are using them. And I can see why Twitter would be great for you, because it essentially started out initially as a bit of a sort of a news service, off the cuff, breaking news. And so there's still lots of journalists and brands and people on there who love it for like the first news or the unauthenticated news. So that would work perfectly for you. Facebook, it's interesting that it doesn't as much. It depends where people are looking for this kind of advice. And if I think for PR, I don't necessarily look on Facebook, actually. I read blogs, I get books or guides, I'd watch videos. And then I think, you know, something like Twitter and even LinkedIn to a point and Quora would be where I'd go. So that's probably why, because it's not that your clients aren't on Facebook, but specifically they are, they will be, but they're specifically probably not necessarily looking there for the tips. That's not technically untrue. Of course, they're there and so you can reach them. And if it's not working for you as a strategy so far, I would suggest a Facebook group for now, just because I've seen people like you mentioned, Jill and Josh Stanton. When you create a group, you're really creating a closed community, but that's where you can give a lot more value and have those interactions.
Well, I've got a few Facebook groups actually, and that does work brilliantly for me. So that works brilliantly. It's just the page. But what I have noticed, and this hopefully will be useful to people listening, is I've recently been writing much longer Facebook posts. Basically, I've been taking sections of my blog posts and turning them into mini blog posts and putting them on Facebook. And I can see the engagement is so much better from doing that. So I guess, as with all of these things, it's about experimentation, isn't it? And just sort of seeing what works for you and trying things out. And I know that you've certainly mentioned on your podcast that you've done that before. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you about was about traditional PR, because I know that you've had some good PR coverage in the traditional media, and by that I mean kind of magazines, newspapers, online TV, radio, and you've also got a very exciting project coming up as well. So I wonder if you could just give a bit of background about the kind of traditional PR coverage that you've had and how that's come about.
Yeah, and I love this because, do you know what, I've looked back now and I have so much freaking content out there, like interviews on podcasts, on blog posts, in articles, in newspapers, in magazines. Yahoo Finance was a biggie actually that happened just about a year and a half, 2 years ago, hit the homepage of that. And it was actually a video. They flew me to New York to video me about being a homeless vagabond with a really great business. And I'm talking about trolls for that one, actually. That was really fascinating because they approached me through a friend who recommended that I would be a good story for this personal finance piece while traveling. So that was just a really lucky break, but I had enough of a brand and I was on social media enough that they sat up and took a notice. And there were tons of trolls on that because Yahoo Finance, basically the people kind of visit that blog initially aren't the kind of people you want to have comments from. Anyway, I digress. Forbes was probably one of the first that I got started out on. And that was just simply by being in the right place at the right time and being prepared. So a bit of luck, you know, preparation meeting opportunity. They had said, look, post on your own blog about stress at Christmas and how you can overcome that and what your tactics are. And I was writing a post about that anyway. So I did. And then I linked back to them because that's what they said to do. And about 3 days later, I saw somebody's like, oh, nice work on Forbes. And they'd picked three people who'd written about it as summary posts within their main post. And then 3 weeks later, I saw this email in my inbox saying, Forbes calling, would you like to be a contributor for our blog? And I was just blown away. I was like, is this a joke? So that was, do you know what's really interesting about stuff like that, though? And you probably know this, Janet, from your experience. It didn't actually really ever send me that much traffic, but the credibility was huge because you could say, I wrote for Forbes, I'm in Forbes today, and people seem to think it's incredible. I would much prefer to be on a blog with 400 readers who are super engaged and much more likely to interact with me, but it does give you that initial credibility.
Exactly. And I think being able to put that on your website as well as featured in and be able to list the publications, it doesn't, it gives you more traction once you've got a couple of, you know, once you've got on Yahoo or whatever, it gives you more traction to then go to Forbes or whatever it might be, or go to TV and radio, because people, I think it gives people reassurance that you know what you're talking about. And if someone else trusts you to write for them or someone else trusts you to be interviewed by them, then they think you're probably going to be okay. So it's really interesting because I know when we talked about this before, it sounds like actually you haven't, and this is what I always say to people actually, that you haven't tried incredibly hard to get your PR. It's because you've got a great business and you've made some key moves that have been, you know, you've taken opportunities as they've come up and you've got a great business. You make sure people know about your great business. So it's almost kind of been easy for you. You've got this great brand. So opportunities have come along for you. And that's what I always say to people is, if you've got a great business, got a brand, it's almost like your PR happens before you even think about pitching to a journalist. Because if your business isn't interesting in the nicest possible way, or you're not doing interesting things, or you haven't got, really kind of strong vision and values that people can really, resonate with, then you're going to find it harder. And is that right? It sounds to me like things have just kind of fallen into place and opportunities and people that you've known and that kind of thing.
I think they have, but it's interesting because once again, I will come back to being lucky, which I still believe is preparation meeting opportunity. So I'm always prepared. You know, I've got a speaker's page, I've got my bio, I've done enough of this now, and I'm pretty good on my brand message and really trying to be in the market at the leading edge of how to use technology and tools and outsourcing to sort of streamline your business. And I'm one of the few female voices in the lifestyle design for our work week kind of space. And then, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes it's been me actually reaching out to people and then going yes. And other times it's been people recommending me because I've done a good job with positioning myself. And the example of that is, yeah, I'm going to be on 60 Minutes New Zealand, which is super exciting, getting flown up to Auckland in the next week at the time of this recording. And I'm going to be the feature interview for that piece talking about lifestyle design and freedom businesses. And they're also going to be interviewing Tim Ferriss, which is awesome to be aligned with that, right? Because he's got such a huge audience. That was because a client of mine that worked with me a few years ago, I coached her, I helped her build her business, suggested to a producer director who her kids went to school with that I'd be the perfect person for the story he wanted to pitch. So it was just really great that she happened to be saying, oh, I know the perfect person for that.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. If you've got an interesting business and people know about it because you're very active on social media, and even just because journalists, I mean, the first thing I do when I've got my journalist and editor's hat on, if somebody wants to write for me or I'm looking for something for a particular story, the first thing I do is Google. So if I Google lifestyle design or I Google freedom businesses or something like that, you're going to come up first. So you're going to be the first person that I'm going to call. So this is, I think, why I always say to people, your PR, it can't just be about, you can't just think about PR in terms of traditional media, newspapers, magazines, social media. You need to be firing on all cylinders. You need to have your social media covered. You need to make sure that you're kind of out there sort of hustling every day, if you like, not actively, but it's almost like if you put that legwork in, like you were saying about the preparation, then the media opportunities, people just know about you and they recommend you and it becomes so much easier. And it sounds like that's how it's worked for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You've just got to take what you can get when you get it, but also just be a little bit more strategic about where you want to appear. And for me, I have some definites now that I would love to be part of or in. and, you know, like Inc. magazine and things, I think is just something a lot of people want to be on, and radio shows, and just actually listing out. And I think you talk about this, listing out the top 5 to 10 places you'd absolutely love to be. And then using tools like Haro, Help a Reporter Out, to kind of field out those stories and see when there's opportunities coming up, and just being in the right place at the right time, reaching out to your friends, networks, especially if somebody you know has just been featured on Huffington Post or whatever, say, how did you get that? Would you be able to introduce me to something? I mean, I got a Business Insider, which drove a lot of traffic back to me, subscribers and sales, because my friend Naveed had been featured on them and got a ton of hits. And I said, wow, that's incredible. And he said, yeah, I'll introduce you to Libby, the lady who writes the article, because she's looking for more stories like mine. And I was like, brilliant. And, you know, they ran my piece 3 weeks later. It was incredible.
Yeah. And also, I mean, that's what you were saying there, is that understanding that journalists, they are looking for people like you. It's not a case of, you know, you're trying to get an idea past them. You know, if you've genuinely got a great story to tell and a great business, then actually, just like happened with you and Naveed there, that journalist was probably really pleased when he said, look, I know somebody who might be able to do something for you. It's not a case of, you know, you almost trying to get something past them. It's actually, you know, they want people like you. They're looking for great content. So if you can provide that, then that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Conscious not to take up too much of your time. It's been absolutely brilliant. And if people want to find out more about you, well, first off, actually, is there anything else you want to mention or you think is worth mentioning? Because I know sometimes I sort of go off on tangents and things, but is there anything that you think is a good tip that you'd like to leave people with?
I think what's relevant to your community and to those listening, well, thank you straight off for listening to this whole thing. And I think you've asked some great questions, hopefully lots of value. But I just love to say, biggest lesson I've learned is don't be afraid to be pistachio rather than vanilla. And the more you can state your opinion and really know the market that you're serving and position yourself as that go-to person, the more likely you are to get some wonderful press opportunities to spread your message far and wide and reach the people that you need to.
Brilliant. Thank you. And where can people find you? I've already talked a lot about your podcast, which I absolutely love, and your blog content, but where can people find you if they want to know more?
So best place is suitcaseentrepreneur.com would be a great start. And I'm at Natalie Sisson on Twitter and Instagram and Periscope. So if you want to check me out on some of those places and see how I use social media, I'd love for you to say hi.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Soulful PR podcast. If you enjoyed the show, do head over to the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode9, where you can download my free course, Pitch Like a Pro. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/episode9.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.